afternoon, and welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. I'm your host, Blair Bunmagura. Thank you, member supporters. On today's Singing and Other Sins program, we focus the hour on music from La Belle Époque, the beautiful era. I'll share with you today some of my favorite song composers who gifted us with extraordinary music during this period. La Belle Époque is a term used to denote the turn of the 20th century in general, in particular, that time of period in France. Let's be clear, no one who lived during La Belle Époque called La Belle Époque by this name. It was only after the painful economic turn that followed that people began to look back on the years from about 1870 to 1915 as a golden age. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. But unlike the time of 1859 when Charles Dickens wrote those lines in A Tale of Two Cities set during the French Revolution, these timeless words could have easily referred to the year of 1870 in France. It was the best of times, and the worst of times. Why was it the worst? Well, in 1870, France was provoked into declaring war on the German states, led by the King of Prussia. And as we all know, 6 months later, by 1871, the French were defeated. There were indeed some dark days for France during this period. But around that very same time, so much was going on across artistic disciplines that it stood in stark contrast with the political tensions stemming from the war. And in Paris, more than any other place, the arts were thriving. Not just literature, painting, sculpture, and music, but dance, fashion, architecture, engineering, cuisine, and drink. All these areas were flourishing, or at the very least, making some significant advances. As it relates to song, the history of La Mélodie Française spans from about 130 years, from Hector Berlioz, whose song compositions began in the 1830s, to Francis Poulenc, whose last songs were composed in the 1960s prior to his passing. It was at the height of its popularity during La Belle Époque years. We'll begin our exploration of French song during La Belle Époque with one of the most important songs from this period, Henri Duparc's L'Invitation au Voyage, composed in 1870. Duparc brings to life the words of famed French poet Charles Baudelaire. This dream world of a mysterious and far-off exotic land is perfectly reflected in the impressionistic piano accompaniment. While it's clear that Baudelaire had the lowlands of Holland in mind when he wrote the poem, Duparc's music suggests something far more unobtainable and otherworldly. French composer Francis Poulenc once said, Duparc's songs are beautiful, and he's the only composer to transpose Baudelaire musically. It's not a coincidence that this invitation to a far-off journey was composed in 1870, right as the French and the Prussians were going to war. Duparc, as with most of his compatriots, longed to be anywhere but in the middle of a war between two countries filled with political strife. Incidentally, this melody, like several of Duparc's compositions, was originally set for piano and voice, but later orchestrated by Duparc, which is how he conceived of the work in his head. He was not really a pianist, so these songs don't fall comfortably under the hands of the pianist, depending upon the key in which they're performed. We'll hear both the piano accompaniment version with English dual tenor John Markley Ansley and his pianist Graham Johnson, along with the orchestrated version with soprano Maggie Tate and the London Symphony Orchestra. And before leaving the set, we'll hear another setting of the poem, this time by French composer Benjamin Godard, who set his vision of Baudelaire's poem about 20 years after Duparc in 1889.
Thank you. Calma,
You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, and you just heard various musical settings of Baudelaire's poem L'Invitation au Voyage by Duparc and Godard. We move now to another one of the great composers of La Belle Époque, Gabriel Fauré. French composer Maurice Ravel said of his teacher Fauré that through his songs he offers us his genius. In this set, we'll hear Fauré's Après un rêve, After a Dream, with Dame Kiri Takanawa, followed by En Sourdine from his Cinq Mélodies de Venise with French-Canadian soprano Rosemarie Landry and American pianist Dalton Baldwin. And we will end with a song that is stylistically uncharacteristic of French song, which is normally more refined and restrained with a sort of controlled lyricism. Instead, In Fleur Jetée, Discarded Flower, we will see an outpour of relentless emotion as performed by Swedish tenor Nikolaj Geda and his pianist Jan Ehren.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Singing and Other Sins as we focus the hour on music from La Belle Époque, that period in France between 1870 and 1915. One note concerning French diction as it pertains to singing, there are differences that exist between spoken French and sung French, areas that must be adhered to concerning liaison, linkages, elision, mute and final e's, and, in speaking French, it's common to use the uvular r. We also hear this in cabaret singers and contemporary or pop vocal music, as in Edith Piaf's popular song La Vie en Rose, or No, Je ne regrette rien. But it's almost never used in French classical vocal music, like French song, as it's considered vulgar. But bringing us back to the topic of La Belle Époque, some historians claim that the flipped R that we use in singing, and for example in classical theater on stage as in the plays of Racine and Molière, this type of R was also employed in high society France back during La Belle Époque. That is to say that the French way of saying R was not pronounced in the manner in which we speak it today. Instead, those with taste belonging to French society would vibrate the R, oftentimes resulting in the flipped R that we use in singing, which carries the sound of the voice much better. This rolled R is also more suitable for projection and resonance. It's relevant when discussing La Belle Époque to note that during this time, French speech had turned into a matter of national interest. Elegant speech involved not just good diction, but a mellifluous quality to the speaking voice as well. Thanks to poets like Verlaine, Rimbaud, and Mallarmé, French language begins to merge with the idea of music. After all, it was Paul Verlaine who stated, expressly in his manifesto Art Poétique, music above all things, establishing a direct link between music and speech. Composer Reynaldo Hahn and his lover, Marcel Proust, author of A la recherche du temps perdu, used to entertain friends with poetic recitals, with Hahn at the keyboard accompanying Proust's verse with music. So before proceeding on to our Debussy songs, I thought I would play an excerpt of a French poetic reading to give you a sense of what beautiful French sounds like when spoken, as in the manner in which, I believe, was often heard during La Belle Époque. The recording is of Italian-born French singer Serge Reggiani reading French poet Guillaume Apollinaire's poem Le Pont Mirabeau from Alcools, with piano accompaniment underneath to give you some idea of what was often happening in the Paris salons during La Belle Époque. Poets and diseurs would recite poetry that was accompanied by pianists who endeavored to interpret the words in their music.
sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine et nos amours. Faut-il qu'ils m'en souviennent? La joie venait toujours après la peine. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure, les jours s'en vont, je demeure. Les mains dans les mains, restons face à face, tandis que sous le pont de nos bras passent les éternels regards, longs de silas. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure, les jours s'en vont, je demeure. L'amour s'en va comme c'est eau courante, l'amour s'en va. Comme la vie est lente et comme l'espérance est violente.
You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, and we come now to our Debussy segment, where we'll hear French soprano Nora Amsalong singing Romance with American pianist Dalton Baldwin. This melody is the absolute epitome of French song and of La Belle Époque. We'll continue from there with another popular Debussy melody that reflects La Belle Époque, Bonsoir, composed in 1878 on words by Paul Bourget, as performed by Dutch soprano Ellie Ameling and her pianist Rudolf Janssen. And finally, Debussy's La Mer est plus belle, The Sea is More Beautiful, composed in 1891 on words by the poet who had the most influence on Debussy, and Fauré for that matter, Paul Verlaine, as performed by Scottish soprano Lisa Milne and her pianist Ian Burnside. Debussy said music should humbly seek to please, and it's apparent that all three of these songs do just that.
Thank you.
Singing and Other Sins. That's what you're listening to, and in this last segment, I'll end the hour with some of my favorites. We'll hear Renaldo Hahn's A Clarice, returning to French-Canadian soprano Rosemarie Landry with Baldwin. It was composed around 1915, towards the very end of what we consider La Belle Époque. That Hahn melody will be followed by another, L'Air Exquis, featuring Gedda with pianist Aldo Ciccolini. And that will lead us to yet another exquisite song, one of my absolute favorites, Chère Nuit, by Alfred Bachelet, featuring American soprano Susan Graham and Scottish pianist Malcolm Martineau.
Vrai, Clarisse, Excuse.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's program featuring Melody Repertoire popular from La Belle Époque. It may have been the very best and worst of times, but sharing this music with you for the past hour has decidedly only been the very best. I'll leave you with two more favorites of mine. Gounod's L'Absent, featuring famed French baritone Pierre Bernac with Francis Poulenc at the piano, and Duparc's Chanson Triste, featuring American soprano Jesse Norman with a pianist we've heard throughout the hour with other artists, Dalton Baldwin. On the surface, these two songs resemble one another in some way. I hope you enjoy. I'm your host, Blair Bunmagura, wishing you a très bon weekend. Aloha.
Dites-moi si c'est...